Heaven is on the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's a heart that deserves gold. After story has never been told. So now you see the light. Hey, stand up for your rights. Come on,
get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up.
Good morning, Portland. This is Voices from the Edge. I'm Dave Mazza, and co-host Joanne Bowman's not going to be with us today. She's back in Washington, D.C., causing all sorts of trouble, I'm sure. Hopefully she's tracking down that little squinty-eyed guy who's given us such a pain in the side. But we're going to have a good show this morning. We're talking elections, as you know. Time is running out to fill out those ballots and make a decision on some of the local races that are quite important. And in a few minutes here, we're going to be bringing on City Commissioner Eric Sten. We've invited the other candidates, but right at this point, it looks like it may just be Eric. But before we bring Eric on the line, just wanted to remind you about what's coming up this morning, and there have been a few last-minute revisions. So keep your hand off that dial when we get done here this morning, because you've got a day of great programming at KBOO. Right now, as you know, this is Voices from the Edge, and we're going to be talking on the City Council Position 2 race. At 9 o'clock, Julie Sabatier hosts DIY, Do It Yourself, Portland. The focus is on alternative fuels with interviews with people making alternative fuels. At 9:30, Teresa Mitchell hosts Press Watch, The News You're Not Supposed to Know. At 10:30 on Art Focus, host Julie Bernard speaks with Gavin Shetler of the Portland Arts Center. And at 11, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman. So a great solid morning of broadcasting and keeping you informed here at KBOO. But let's get back now to the issue at hand. Like I say, we're going into the last week or so of elections, and it's getting real tense. Here at KBOO, yesterday we had folks run in candidates running against incumbent Dan Salzman, as well as the commissioner himself. And this morning we have Eric Sten on the line. Good morning, Eric.
Hey, good morning, Dave.
How you doing?
Pretty good. I'm losing my voice for the last couple of days, but other than that, the energy level strong.
Doing a Wendell Willkie thing here, campaigning so hard you're going to lose your voice.
Yeah, right? It's just about gone, but, you know, I think that's a good sign.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's your reputation or what, but or you put the fear of God in the other candidates, but we invited everybody, and you're the only one.
Well, you know, I think I talk about things I'm doing, but I think that a lot of what Senator Burdick's doing is soundbite politics, and she probably doesn't want to get grilled.
Yeah, well, you know, that could be a whole program we could discuss about how to do a campaign. So I thought what we'd do is spend a little bit of time talking about what you're, you know, presenting to voters next week, and then we'll open up the lines for a little bit and let callers. So, you know, give us, you know, what are the top three things that you're going to be giving to voters if they vote for you?
Well, the nice thing about being in office is you've got a track record, and, you know, I'm going to keep fighting on the issues that I think are going to define Portland. There's a lot of agreement on things, but the key things, you know, are we going to own our corporations locally? I mean, I'm talking about the monopoly utilities like PGE.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we obviously want a wide business climate, but I'm going to keep fighting the Enrons of the world, and that's, I think, one of the key ones. I think it's probably what drove the coalition that's funding my opponent to put up so much cash. Of course, you know, affordable housing is my passion, and we've actually made really good progress the last couple of years on getting people who've been on the street for a long, long time off the street, and going to keep focusing there, going to keep trying to get as much support as possible for the public education system. And, you know, it's kind of fun, Dave, because I've been being painted as anti-business, and if you go to my campaign website, you're going to see 110 businesses there, which is way more than all my opponents combined. I want to keep focusing on having a great economy and a good business climate, but doing it through local businesses, fair wages, you know, benefits, and all the things that make a real economy work.
Keep the money in the local economy.
Exactly.
One thing I hear a lot of people talking about, and is that their favorite, you know, they support our planning system here in Portland and the way we try to deal with growth, but a sense that at some point we have to say there are limits to, you know, there are limits. And how do we as a city, you know, not stop growth altogether, or maybe it is stop growth altogether, because we can get to a certain size where we're no longer going to be able to preserve Forest Park or the air quality and what have you. Do you have any ideas, long-term ideas of how we can be doing that sort of thing and not send our economy into the tank?
Well, I think two things. I mean, one is that there's no reason to subsidize growth, and I think that's the piece that we can pay more attention to. Last fall, and I do think some of these things are situational in terms of the economics, but last fall I sponsored a moratorium on the tax breaks for more expensive housing that we've given in the past, and so we're not doing that at this point. And I think that's important. I also think that, you know, rather than trying to tie our economic development strategies to growth, which is historical approach, we ought to tie it to things that actually help clean up and make the city better. So the last couple of years I've been really focused on, and I think it's working. It's not me, it's a lot of folks, but, you know, how do we get things like open source software and environmental cleanup and restoration and planning to be sort of industries that we're really encouraging to grow here. So in a sense, while you're growing, you're also learning how to do things in a different way. And, you know, I don't think it's realistic that we're going to stop people from moving here. It's a better place to live than almost anywhere in the world, in my opinion. And I think people are going to keep coming here. But I think we can, if we keep bringing progressives here and harness their energy, kind of good pun, I guess. I think we can maybe do a different model, and I would complain. I see, and I think we can be absolute in protections of green space and those other things you mentioned.
Yeah. Another area, obviously, of concern is the police. And while, granted, you know, Mayor Potter is the police commissioner, it is an issue that should be of concern to everyone on the commission, on the council, and we seem to still be stalled out.
Well, I may be suffering from the half full versus the half empty glass on this one, because I agree we need a lot more work. But I see progress under Mayor Potter. I was the first elected official to publicly call for, at least on the city council, to call for Croker to leave. And I think if you go back a couple of years to Mayor Katz's decision to appoint Chief Croker to where we are now under Mayor Potter, we're making progress. Although I think Mayor Potter has said out loud, and it's worth kind of repeating, that in his first year or so in office, he didn't focus on police. And I think he singularly, he is in charge of the police. He was our best police chief for the last, you know, couple of decades. And I think he's singularly positioned to make some improvement. And I think he'd be the first to tell you he's not happy yet. So I think this is one that you ought to judge, you know, both him and I on over the next couple of years and see more progress.
Okay. Because obviously, one of the big pieces isn't working, which is the Independent Police Review Division. People are walking away from that. People continue to not go to it with their complaints because they don't feel it has any power to do anything. And they're still concerned that, you know, it's simply a way for the police to identify troublemakers. And so, we're losing, an important piece of having Portland be more transparent and democratic right there. And I'm not sure how much longer we can wait on that issue.
Well, I'm gonna get a community discussion going on this, you know, certainly by the end of the year. Because when I supported the new system, my sense was, let's try this new system. Again, I think it's better than the old system, Dave, but I don't think it's acceptable, and I think we can keep pushing.
Okay. Well, for folks just tuning in, you're listening to Voices at the Edge. I'm Dave Mazza, and I'm on the line with City Commissioner Eric Sten. And if you want to join us in this conversation, have some questions for Commissioner Sten, you can give us a call at 503-231-8187. Here's your chance before filling out that ballot to get a very specific answer to whatever's been nagging you. And
at this point, Dave, it looks like turnout is pretty low so far, so a lot of people haven't filled them out, and I think that's one of the, whatever your position on any of the issues for the progressive community the next couple of days is to talk to friends and family and make sure they get those ballots in.
Do you have some sort of number to give us an idea of how low we're talking?
I think we're just right about right about, it was 9% countywide on Monday, and I don't have, the next count is tomorrow, but just to give you a sense, 9%, even in a low year like this, you'd probably be expecting more like 12, and at first glance it doesn't sound like much, but that's 30%.
So it's
right now it's very low, and I think it's anybody who has time over the next 3 days. I mean, there's so many issues on the ballot that matter right now. Ought to, you know, round up 5 or 10 progressive friends and get those ballots in.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's disturbing because this is there's some very clear and important issues to be dealt with from some very clear and important races to be involved in. So, folks, you hear that? Get out there, get those ballots filled in, and don't.
If you don't mail by tomorrow, I would say drop them off. I mean, and because probably they've got to be there by Tuesday. And so if you get them in the mail on Friday morning, I think it's a pretty safe bet they'll be there Tuesday. But I wouldn't bet on Saturday. I'd drop them off.
Right. The Elections Division already has people waiting on the curb to pick up ballots. If you just drive on by, it's pretty easy to do. So there's no reason not to fill those out. Well, speaking of elections, voter-owned elections has taken something of a public beating. Is this fair? Are there indeed fatal flaws, as the Oregonian and certain candidates are saying, or are we just seeing the natural progression of a new process?
The system is so much better, Dave. And just so make sure people know, I'm running under the voter-owned system and collected $1,305 contributions, and then qualified for the public fund. And as somebody, and I think I'm the only candidate who's ever run under both systems, as far as democracy and grassroots and including people and just good common sense government, it's night and day. I mean, I'm spending all my time talking with people. I'm not stumping for the big dollars. My opponent, for example, has $10,000 from Comcast, $5,000 from Quest. You just go down the line, and that's that. Not only is that ultimately influence the government, even if it didn't, and it does, it would make people rightfully very cynical. And, you know, we had one candidate who's now been sanctioned for violating the rules, and I'm very aggressive in pointing out to people, what's the difference between the voter-owned system, which we do still need to work as a community? I mean, reform takes work and change and revisions. I mean, reform is easy to get done in a day. But what's the difference between our system, even with some of the changes that still need to be made, versus the national and state systems? If you cheat, you get busted.
Mm-hmm.
She cheated. She got busted. What happens in D.C.? You win and get the contract. So I think people would be silly to fall for the Oregonians' rationale. They hated the system from day one. In a lot of ways, my race, I think, is a referendum on what kind of democracy are we going to have in Portland. Not about me, but, are we going to have public financing? Are we going to have campaign finance reform? Are we just going to go for the fat cats and the sound bites? And the same folks funding Senator Burdick's campaign are the ones who failed to get, to buy a referral on voter-owned elections. And we're going to send voter-owned elections out to the ballot as a community, but we did a more democratic thing and said, let's try it, work out the bugs, and then send it out, which is a very, very smart way to do things because you get things right. And campaign finance reform is worth hanging in there and fighting to every last drop on. I mean, it's night and day compared to what's going to happen if we can hold the system.
So do you think that there are some things that need to be tweaked to prevent the Emily Boyle's situation from arising again? Or do you think that it's working out fine? Because as you say, she's been caught. She's apparently dropped out of the race, if not...
Frankly, to be blunt, I think the auditor's office should have scrutinized her petition a little more closely. And if they had, I'm not sure they would have issued it. I mean, it's just not realistic to think that one person is going to collect $1,005 contributions in a short amount of time. Both Amanda Fritz and I, who've qualified, had dozens of volunteers working on it. And you just do the simple math, Dave. Like, let's say you could convince somebody to give you, $5 every 15 minutes without a break. You'd have to work for 6 weeks, right? I couldn't get somebody to give me $5 every 15 minutes. You got to talk with them, right?
Sure.
And people might sign something to get you out of their face. And so just on its face, when she had one person, turn in all of the signatures, there were some questions. So I think the things that are pretty clear is that there should be more paperwork in terms of where the $5 came from. The auditor's office should have done a much tighter audit of the signatures themselves. I'm less certain that we should change to just registered voters, which is the big debate, as opposed to citizens of the city. But I think I'd be open to registered voters. It's something I think people ought to talk about. But keep in mind, part of why it was so quote-unquote had flaws, and this is a great point, I think, is that the system is set up to hold the candidate responsible if they cheat. I mean, God forbid we have personal responsibility in this community. And when she got sanctioned, she has a right to an appeal, but if that appeal doesn't hold up, and I don't think there's much chance that it will, given the facts that are on the table, she's going to owe all of that money at 12% interest, Dave. That's no joke. That's a lien that comes against her tax refunds and everything. And mm-hmm. So the idea that she scammed the system is not reality. I mean, she's gonna regret this the rest of her life, and I don't wish that upon her. But, you know, it's sometimes like in you have to say, okay, you know, you take responsibility for your actions, and if you cheat and get busted, you're gonna be sorry you did. And that's what happened here. I think it's unfortunate it happened the first time around because it's perhaps colored people's view of the system. But on the other hand, I've never met anybody, including the good folks or the bad folks at the Garden Gerber PR firm who defend our current system. It's always like, well, let's go after this campaign finance reform system because it's not perfect. Well, that's not a good argument. You know, we need to make mm-hmm. much better. If something's much better, you go for it. You don't get perfect in this world.
Right. Well, for folks just tuning in, you're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM. I'm Dave Mazza. This is Voices from the Edge. We're talking with City Commissioner Eric Sten. We have invited other candidates running for this position. None chose to come in this morning. So we're going to open up the phone lines to folks to talk to the commissioner. I believe we actually have a caller on the line right now. Good morning, caller.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you loud and clear. What do you have
okay.
to ask?
Okay, yeah. Don DePay is running for county sheriff, and he said something about, I guess, the unused jail, and it was the county jail, Waipato or something. He said something about he might use it to accommodate the homeless or to have some kind of social services there for people from the different communities that are underserved and not being served. Mr. Sten, what do you think about that idea?
Well, I like the concept.
I guess I'll go.
Oh, thanks for the question. I like the concept behind it, which is we need treatment and social services. I suspect, I haven't studied it, I'd be glad to look at it. I suspect that actually running the services out of the jail itself would be fairly expensive because it's a pretty big remote building. But I like the idea, and my, you know, the city has put some money into trying to keep the correction system running, and my input into that is that it needs to go to drug treatment because that's what's driving most of the property crime in town.
Okay. And let's go on to our next caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the line.
Hello?
Hello. Do you have a question for the commissioner?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Hi. Yeah. You opened up your talk today saying that you believe that the county has a job of helping get people off the streets that had been there for a long time. And I've worked with homeless issues in the Portland area, and I'm also involved in a statewide task force on homelessness. And I really have a lot of concerns about what's happening, and when people make, especially politicians, make broad statements about all the good things that we've done without addressing all of the issues that are taking over housing right now. I worked for the Housing Authority in Portland for a while. I know they're divesting most of their houses and a lot of their apartments. They are laying off social workers that help people stay in those housing, you know, people with all sorts of health and mental health issues. They're laying off those people. And I heard last night on Hole in the Bucket on KBOO that there are now almost 8,000 homeless people in Clackamas County. And that's really what's happening is people are coming into Portland. They're looking for work. They have no place to live. There's all sorts of housing scams happening with all these fees that you have to pay to even be able to put an application in for an apartment. There's lots of research to show that those apartment complexes are charging a $35 to a $50 application fee, and they don't really have anything open. They're just collecting the money. And there's all these issues, and I've I've tried to write to the mayor and to the city because they put up a website to help people supposedly find housing that is just encouraging this ripoff. And I haven't had anybody, no politician nor bureaucrat, address them. And I know that other housing advocates and homeless advocates have tried to get down to the details of why people are homeless. And I'm wondering if you could address that.
Sure, there's a lot there. I mean, I think that affordable housing is a structural problem in our economy right now, and it's something that will not be addressed without in total without a whole change in the way we approach the country's housing policy. Homeowners get about...
Could the caller turn down the radio in the background?
Sure.
Homeowners get about, I'm for the mortgage deduction, but homeowners get about three times the support for housing as low-income folks. And so I'm a proponent of creating in the region a tax on real estate that would be used for affordable housing. We need that kind of ongoing push to be able to solve the problem at a big level. And I see two ways that you can actually get housing more affordable. One is to really screw up the city so that nobody wants to live here, and that's not my approach. Or put more money into housing. Meanwhile, I we're working really hard to make the systems better, and there are a lot of problems in the systems. You're really talking about federal housing red tape that comes through the housing authority. I don't necessarily disagree with that. At the same time, last year our community got 660 people off the street who had been homeless for well over a year, and I think we can be proud of that while we try and fix things.
Okay. Well, thank you, caller, for that question. And for folks just tuning in, you're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM. This is Voices from the Edge. I'm Dave Mazza. Joanne's taking the day off. She's back in D.C. causing some sort of trouble. And we have Commissioner Eric Sten on the line. We've invited all the candidates for this Commissioner 2 position. However, we just have Eric, so we're giving callers a chance to ask questions before they fill out that ballot, and please do make sure you get those ballots filled out and turned in, and encourage your friends to do likewise. We want to have a good turnout for this election. Let's bring the next caller on the line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. I have a question about Mount Tabor Park. I was just wondering what Eric Sten's position on protecting and preserving the park is now. I know it's not right on the front burner, but it's still certainly a concern of mine.
Well, I love the park. I grew up playing there like a lot of people, and I think it needs some more investment over time just to make sure that we restore it. But I wouldn't support any major changes in focus to the park. I think it's one of our most beautiful, really kind of contemplative places where you can go and walk and do whatever you like. I think we all went around and around for some good and some bad reasons on the reservoir covering issue, but that, I think that's behind us, and I would be in favor of keeping it like it is.
Okay. And, let's see. I want to slip one in here. We were talking earlier about voter-owned elections, and that, is looking at taking the corporations out of the election process. How about on the other end of the system of doing something to make more transparent the activities of lobbyists, either in terms of greater registration and reporting, in terms of what they're spending on lobbying city council, or something along those lines? Now, I know there were efforts earlier.
We actually passed this year, and it was Commissioner Adams' initiative, but I was wholeheartedly in support because I think what you're kind of getting at, Dave, is that these are two sides of the same coin.
Right.
And we actually now have you have to register to lobby in the city of Portland. It's a very strict disclosure law. There's been a lot of debate on exactly who's a lobbyist and who's not, and it's just like voter-owned elections. It'll take a little work over, the first couple of years to refine it. But by the end of this year, for the first time in history, you're going to have detailed reporting on who spends money, who lobbies us. And this is so important because, I'm not saying this happens a ton. I usually know where people are coming from, but I'll have some of the major expensive lobbyists come into my office, and it's very common they'll try and schedule a meeting on one pretext and work another issue, and I don't even know who's paying them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's underway in Portland, and so I think what we're pushing towards is you know, an actual transparent, you know, voter-owned democracy here. And you know, everybody says to me, well, you know, if you work on that kind of stuff, isn't the big money always going to find a way? Well, it's always going to try and find a way, and then you just got to keep working at it, you know. And so I mean, is our system perfect? Absolutely not. But it is. I got to tell you, it's a heck of a step in the right direction. And you know, when I talk about progressives getting to the ballot, I mean, you've basically got at this point, you know, I'm running under this system. My opponent's got about 20 donors who are all the same folks from the First Things First committee trying to knock voter-owned elections out. And it's just a ton of cynical sound bites, you know, trying to play to people's bad side. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is going to be a real important question for the community. Are you going to stand behind a new form of democracy?
Okay. Well, we have another caller on the line. Let's bring them on. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. Hello?
Yes. Do you have a question for the commissioner?
Commissioner Sten, regarding the public financing of campaigns, I have called KBOO and presented this idea that our campaign system is costly, is so costly, and it's I feel like when we have to finance them and use the money to pay for campaign, you know, spots on television and radio, which are the most expensive part, that even when the public finances them, that the radio station, you know, the regular hosts who have a, in my opinion, I think, an extreme bias towards the right wing. See, you're competing against a political ideology that I say it's unfair to have to pay to get your voice heard when for the rest of the day the listener is going to hear a bias that's almost drowns out the political debate. It's still not fair, and then you have to pay to hear an opposite view. And so I didn't phrase that very well, but could you, if you follow me there?
Yeah, I do. Well, you know, I think the, you know, the public financing approach is really a ray of hope for fixing the system, and you have to start locally, which is why I fought so hard to get the system in place here, but it doesn't solve all the problems, and we have to, you know, I think we need federal regulation on in terms of sort of equal time and all those kinds of things, but in already in the short term we're making progress, and the way we're making progress on this issue is that spending is way down. In Commissioner Saltzman and Amanda Fritz's race, for pragmatic reasons, Commissioner Saltzman decided to limit his spending to $150,000, which is what Amanda got from the public financing. In my race, Senator Burdick is blowing through the caps, but you know, it's just her funders can't believe you can't buy an election. I mean, that's what's going on. I mean, they just can't believe you can't buy an election, and they're going to keep trying. But as spending goes down, which is what's happening, it's well less than half is being spent this cycle than last time because of public financing, then the need to do grassroots organizing goes up, strategy and tactics become important again rather than just airwaves, and there's only one of the major city council candidates even doing TV ads, which is Commissioner Saltzman, compared to everybody last time. And so I think by limiting money and bringing in a more democratic approach, and the other thing that's going to be critical is, do voters send a message that we're going to support candidates, you know, perfect or not, who take part in the system? And we're not going to support candidates who say, I don't really care. I want the $10,000 contributions. And so I think this is a way to get after that problem, but it's not, you have to react to that situation because we have no control over the airwaves locally, other than KBOO. And Dave, unfortunately, I'm going to have to run here in just a sec. I had thought that the other folks were going to get a big chunk of time and got scheduled for something else.
No, I
appreciate the opportunity.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time out this morning to let our callers get in there and get an idea of what you're planning for the next session. And you have a good morning, Eric.
Hey, thanks. And I can only get there and do stuff if you support, and I'd be honored to have everyone support and spread the word if you're there.
Thank you very much.
Take care, Dave.
All right, you too. And that was Commissioner Eric Sten, who has been on the line answering some calls this morning. We can continue our discussion. Unfortunately, as I said, the other candidates chose not to come on down and participate in our candidate debate, so maybe we need to talk about that as well. I don't know. Let's see. Looks like we have another caller on the line. Why don't we bring the caller on? Good morning, caller.
Yes, hello, Mr. Sten.
Unfortunately, Mr. Sten has left.
I wanted to ask him about domestic violence. It seems like that issue has been silenced or smothered in Portland, and I was concerned about whether these domestic violence shelters that are getting enough money, or are they closing down? Are they really getting the help they need? Is it worse than ever for domestic violence victims, whether they're women or children, whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like that issue has been silenced or smothered.
Certainly hasn't been receiving as much
publicity. Well, yeah, everything else is getting it because of what the war does to the money and everything.
Right.
Anyway, I had another thought, but is that an issue that the city council will pay attention to or has any authority or judgment?
What's that?
Domestic violence. Whether the shelters and that are getting enough money and the victims are getting enough attention and care.
Well, a lot of that is funded through the county.
That's a county thing?
A lot of it is, but, you know, I think that there's enough cooperation between county and city because some services are dealt with at the city level. And, of course, with domestic violence, there's part of it is the police end of it, the law enforcement end of it, which is a city issue. And, you know, the police are being better educated on how to deal with that, and so there's better reporting and prosecution. So I think it's always good to talk to the city on these things.
I'm more interested in rehabilitation than of putting people in, but I guess sometimes people have to be put in jail. But anyway, thanks a lot. Bye.
Okay, well, thank you. And for folks just tuning in, this is KBOO 90.7 FM. We had Eric Sten earlier this morning. He just had to leave, get on with the day's work. So we're currently without any candidates. But that doesn't mean we can't discuss any issues anyhow. Just won't be able to have a candidate answer for you. So why don't we bring the next caller on the line? And by the way, if you want to join us in that conversation, give us a call at 503-231-8187. And let's bring the next caller on. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. Sorry I missed the commissioner.
Yeah, sorry. What do you want to talk about?
Actually, it's convenient because I wanted to talk about another race.
Oh, okay.
The commissioner's, of course, you know, local government does affect everybody, I think, in a more direct way than almost anything, you know, now that the draft is gone anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But another one is the judges. And, of course, you know, you see these people and who the heck are they, you know?
Exactly.
And there's one position does have a lot of competition. It's the position 31, 4th District. And I've actually had experience with one of those judges. And I would very much, although she looks like she has a good working class background, boy, I found that if you're an individual sued by a business in small claims, as far as she's concerned, you're wrong. And I won my case, actually, but she made it real clear. I mean, it's the most biased thing I've ever heard. If I heard it on TV, I would have thought it was, you know, implausible about what a dirty so-and-so I was and how the only reason she was ruling for me was, gee, I had the evidence and I had the law on my side, you know? Golly. But that was Julia Philbrook. So I would recommend anybody but her, and looking at the candidates in the voter's guide, which is all the information I have other than that experience, Mr. Borg, several of them have experience with the public defenders. Mr. Borg's the only one I see that does not have experience as a prosecutor.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm going to be voting for him.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for raising that issue, too.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's always very frustrating to look on those long lists. I mean, for me, I recognize one or two names from years ago when I used to work in the law, and there's a couple of folks running that I think are quite good, but otherwise it's just pretty much ciphers, and I never vote unless I know something specific. I just don't vote because I certainly don't want to put another right-winger on the bench, and And I think, you know, we have the problem of way too many prosecutors getting appointed as and elected as judges, and we need far more. We need a lot more defense attorneys on there because, as you can tell, what's left of our civil liberties seems to be getting whittled away every day at all levels. It's not just up at the federal level it's happening. It's happening at the local level with local judges willing to, you know, kind of have a really incredible interpretation of what probable cause means. But anyhow, let's move on to our next caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. I just wanted to express my appreciation as a 25-year ergonaut of KBOO. The degree and horizon, the spectrum of opinion and direction and political, the political horizon, which KBOO has always had such a high respect and made such a big effort to get everybody's word out if they come forward and say they want the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Yeah, I think that's an important role for this station to play, and I think I agree with you. I think KBOO does a remarkable job in doing that.
Yeah, woe be the day that the government is supporting us because we experienced what happens when the government doesn't like your opinion. goodbye, Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's the real community stations that represent the fabric and background and framework of our community. And it's the acid test of what is really in our community, despite what someone may be persuaded strongly to think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that having just Commissioner Sten on is no black mark against KBOO. Too bad for the other candidates, I say. And as far as there's anything here in this area, what you might call a cognoscenti, I expect that they were aware of Mr. Sten's appearance on KBOO and did partake of the program as an aspect of collecting true information.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks a lot.
Well, thank you very much. And you have a good day now.
And, take care.
Yeah, you too. And anyone else who wants to join us in the conversation today, give us a call at 503-231-8187. Yeah, it is unfortunate. You know, we had invited all the candidates, and Eric was the only one who made the time to be there. We're at that point in the election cycle where, you know, candidates' time is very limited, and they're looking at what, you know, how do they apply their time to groups that are most likely to vote for them rather than taking a kind of broader community view and saying, you know, we have an obligation to talk to people who may not vote for us. But who knows? You know, it's always hard to tell where those connections are going to happen. Okay, let's bring on our next caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
Pretty good. Say, why do people vote for parasites like Dan Saltzman? I just don't understand it. Does anybody remember December 8th, 03? Does anybody remember Saltzman and his little independent appointed panel to study the reservoir covers? The independent panel, it turned out to be mostly his buddies from CH2M Hill.
Yeah, I was on the panel.
If you... If you Google Dan Saltzman and CH2M Hill, you will get hundreds of hits. If you Google Saltzman and CH2M Hill, you will get hundreds more hits because apparently it's kind of a family thing here and in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
This is sleaze. This is corruption. That's just one of the things that Saltzman has done. I haven't forgotten about his BS about the Patriot Act either. I mean, this guy's business is to suck our blood, take our tax money, and give it to his buddies at CH2M Hill and other war contractors and whoever else he wants. And he has no regard whatsoever for the people of Portland. And people fall for him every time. It's like there's signs all over town, Dan Salton. And every time I see one, I think, how can you be so stupid? Why do you want your blood sucked? I mean, this guy, geez, this guy sleeps in a coffin during the day, and you're going to vote him back in? It doesn't make sense.
But how do you really feel about Dan Salton?
And Lister, I mean, it's the same thing. Family money, hello, what do you think he's going to do?
Well, you know. That's the wonderful system we have, you know, best democracy money can buy.
The beat me, please system. I got something else to say about this and all the other elections.
Uh-huh.
Spoilage, Diebold, IR,
yeah.
Sports that are hackable. It's not acceptable. I mean, if we have to walk right in, if I even see a touchscreen voting machine, I'm going to smash it.
Well, of course, we obviously can't advocate that sort of approach, but...
I just did.
Okay.
It's called democracy, okay?
All righty.
Okay, thanks.
Hey, take care.
Bye.
We had a caller come in and called in a little bit ago to remind folks that you can also drop your ballots off at the libraries around town as well, that they have drop boxes there. So in addition to the elections office, which is down on 12th, I think it is, or 11th, I forget now, 11th and Belmont, or 11th and Morrison, down on that corner there. Can't miss it. You can also check in your local library. And as Commissioner Sten mentioned earlier, right now we're about 9% turnout, which is about 4 or 5 points lower than we had been this time in the last election. So things are moving a little slowly. That need to make sure folks get that in there and get their votes cast. It's, you know, casting your vote isn't the end all of fixing everything, but it's one piece of the picture. And it certainly pays to get candidates in there who make things a little easier and open up spaces for us to do more organizing. You know, we've all been down the path. We can think about how things were when Mayor Katz and her evil minion Chief Croker were around. We had a lot of people getting hurt trying to exercise their First Amendment rights. And I'm not saying it's changed totally, but it has obviously loosened up since the good mayor's moved on, and so has the chief. So, you know, it's if nothing else, it's a tactics. It's an issue of tactics, even if you don't believe the electoral process can bring change. So let's bring on our next caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, I have a question. I live in Tigard, which is part of the Greater Portland area, and in my area here, for state representative, Mark Haz was the state representative, but he's not running again. A Democrat. I'm a Democrat, and there's three Democratic nominees who are running on the primary for that position. Do you know anything about that race?
I don't, since, you know, I live in Portland, and I don't have anything about that race offhand. So,
well, neither did I. I just went ahead and didn't vote on it, and then when the November race comes up, I'll just vote for the Democrat. Lots of times it's hard to, out here where I live, to get any information, you know, on the politics in this area. I hear a lot about what's going on in Portland, but very little about what's going on out here. But I just thought I'd ask.
Okay, well, sorry we couldn't help you. And as you know, part of the problem is getting the candidates for us, getting the candidates to come in and talk to us. You know, we invited, I don't know how many there were this morning, but 7 people, 8 people, and only one agreed to participate. So,
yeah, that's true. Now, this race I'm talking about is pivotal and very important because that seat has been held by a Democrat for a long time, and if a Republican wins it, it'll really hurt us in the progressive community at the state legislature.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's, you know, I think progressives living inside Portland need to be a little more, and I include myself in this, be a little more aware of what's happening out in the suburbs, because there are people, there are a lot of progressives who live, you know, outside the city limits. And, in fact, I used to live out near, Washington Square for a number of years.
And yeah, that's right. I live right near there. And, all of this, you know, is connected together. Mm-hmm. And a state representative like that, boy, that's really important down mm-hmm. in Salem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there's not enough of a margin to be able to afford to lose one or two of those seats. Okay, well, all I can say is you've got to get in there and do your research on your own, I'm afraid, and we'll try to be doing a better job of covering those races in the future.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome now. And for folks just tuning in, you're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM. This is Voices from the Edge. I'm Dave Mazza. Joanne Bowman is off wreaking havoc of some sort in Washington, D.C., and we're talking politics. We had Commissioner Sten on the line earlier this morning talking about, you know, what he's going to be doing if he's reelected, and we'd invited other candidates who chose not to participate in our little roundtable discussion. So I guess it's no longer a roundtable discussion since I'm the only one here. But if you want to talk politics in general, what's coming up in this race, give us a call at 503-231-8187, and let's bring the next caller on the air. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm okay. I'd like to make a suggestion to the audience and to the larger scheme of Portland.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a meeting last night, a community meeting that was chaired by one of the commissioners who's not running, who's not up for election, re-election. And I want to suggest that everybody take two or three times a year and go to a community meeting. A lot of times, the only time the elected official is paying attention to the general citizen is when they're running for election. And I think it's important for us to let them know that we're out there 365 days a year.
Mm-hmm.
And we're out there not just when they're running for re-election. I'm not trying to cast aspersions on people who are running for office, but the nature of the game seems to be that they want to get reelected. And once they're reelected, then, you know, then they're not, you know, then they're mm-hmm. not paying attention. Because what they want is our vote. And, of course, as we've been emphasizing, if we're big contributors, they certainly want to pay attention to us. But most of us aren't big contributors, and some of us can't afford to contribute anything more than our vote or our interest. And it seems to me that if we want to say we're a democracy, and sometimes I think we're a democracy in name only,
mm-hmm.
we have to provide some kind of feedback, whether they want it or not. So I would encourage people to go to these public meetings, get to know people in the audience. For quite a long time yesterday, I was the only person in the audience, and there were 10 people around the table. I mean, yeah, thank you for laughing. There was a journalist there representing, you know, the Fifth Estate, and that's good because I know I can count on that person to tell the story in the next edition of their newspaper. But I just felt it was a very weird imbalance until several more people came. But still, the people sitting around the table doing the discussing, making the decisions, far outnumbered the people in the audience, and it seems to me there's something wrong with that dynamic. What do you think?
I'm in full agreement with you that there's something wrong with that dynamic, and I get, you know, it makes me laugh that, you know, there'll be people who talk about the inaccessibility of the candidates, and, you know, true, oftentimes they are inaccessible, but there are those opportunities where here's a chance to walk up to the candidate and while they're pouring a cup of coffee and just say, you know, hey, what are you doing about this, such, you know, whatever the issue is.
Yeah.
So here's your chance. And, you know, it's a form of access you rarely get. It's not all formal like talking at city council, and it's in the evening when you can actually attend. So, I'm in full agreement. You know, our democracy is in real trouble if it's limited to casting a vote once every couple of years. We need to be involved and, you know, interacting with these folks and chiding them when they're doing the wrong thing and giving them positive strokes when they're doing the right thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I know I have more time than most people. Nevertheless, you can't really complain about the situation if you're not willing to put your shoulder to the wheel. And everybody can do something.
Right.
Everybody can't go to every meeting, of which there are many. And one thing that the commissioner pointed out, which I wanted to say, and I don't think he did it to toot his own horn, he said that after this meeting he had another one to go to, and it's not unusual for them to have three meetings scheduled at night. And it seems to me like Eric Sten had to leave the discussion this morning because he had something else to go on to. And I appreciate that they have very full plates. On the other hand, that's all the more reason why we need to get, we need to wiggle in there and get our chance to bend their ear at least just a little bit whenever we can.
I think that's, those are all very good points you make.
So it seems to me that the role of a citizen is to keep yourself informed by reading a variety, reading or listening to a variety of sources, and also, you know, raising your voice to speak directly to the people who make policies and procedures. So that's what I wanted to say, and thanks for the opportunity.
Well, thank you. That's a good definition, and I fully agree that, you know, it's good to be informed, but at some point you have to do something with that information.
Yeah.
So.
And then you have to talk to your neighbors and friends about,
right,
because they weren't able to go. So, you know, you can keep the discussion alive by, instead of talking about who's on the cover of People magazine that week, talk to your friends and neighbors about what happened.
I'm all on board. I'm on board.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. And let's see now. I think we have another caller. Let's bring him on the line. Good morning, caller. Good morning. Are you there? Well, we've lost them in the void. My engineer is assuring me there's a caller.
Hello?
Oh, there we are. We had a little trouble hearing you there. Good morning.
With the last caller, I would think one of the reasons I feel I don't know about the political scene is there's nothing about it really in the television, where the local television gives you nothing. And the local newspaper, it's too bad we don't have a or what's going on in city council like you have. What's going on with your sports team? There's a regular sports column, and some of the people are sports section. The sports people don't hesitate to say what they think, it seems to me, about the various teams and what's going on.
Well,
in
you know,
politics, we have really, we do not know what is coming before, you know, the interest groups have put things before the city council. We find out about them when there's a meeting where they're going to vote, and generally they've all somewhat agreed of how they're going to vote to begin with.
Well, when that happens, do you call the newspaper and say, how come you guys don't do a better job of encouraging public participation? Or do you call City Hall and say, hey, I didn't find out about this meeting until after it happened. Why aren't you doing a better job of letting citizens know?
Well, that's an interesting point.
We got to be more. You got to be more active, man. You can't critique is good. We have to critique what's going on and what's not working. But you got to follow it up with action. And you know, progressives.
Do you constantly call the Oregonian?
Well, being the editor of the Portland Alliance newspaper, I get to ding the Oregonian in print all the time. But, you know, I have in the past, yes, I call them, I try to be interactive with them. And I'm not saying we have to be combative, we just, you know, give them feedback. And if they start getting enough calls, they're gonna, by the way, they do actually list all the types of public meetings, it's just, they do a kind of a screwy way of burying it in the paper. You just have to really dig through things. But
well, I guess my example is the various streetcars, of which I had some kind of involvement on that, that our organization found out about it and sort of at the last minute and found out things weren't exactly as planned. But then I did go to, say, meetings about transportation.
Well,
and you will find, I guess you're right. If you talk to the people in the transportation department, for example, they said, oh, sure, we have, this is years ago, we have plans for streetcars here, there, and the other. And we do not know what the overall priorities or plans are for the city. They're mm-hmm. out there, but somehow the way news is conveyed, we don't think of politics as sort of a sport in which it might be of fun and interest for people to keep up with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a result, we don't keep up with it. And I think that's just part of unfortunate part of the culture, that it's so politics is dirty. Well, so sports dirty. But that doesn't mean we don't keep, you know, watching sports. Well, that's my comment.
Okay. Well, like I say, just get in there and get on the phone and don't let them get by, slip by on this sort of stuff. Well, before we bring on our next caller, I just want to remind folks that, as always, we have a great morning lined up for you here at KBOO. And following Voices on the at the Edge or Over the Edge or wherever I am this morning, we have at 9, Julie Sabatier hosts DIY Portland. That's Do-It-Yourself Portland. Very clever new program here. The focus is on alternative fuels with interviews with people making alternative fuels of various kinds. At 9:30, Teresa Mitchell hosts Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know. At 10:30 on Art Focus, Julie Bernard speaks with Gavin Shuttler of the Portland Art Center. And at 11 on Democracy Now!, faculty members at Georgetown University protest the visiting professor appointment of Douglas Faith, the former Undersecretary of Defense and the chief architect of the invasion of Iraq. Protests at the new school in New York City over the pick of Arizona Republican Senator John McCain as commencement speaker, and an interview with Greg Grandin about his new book, Empire's Workshop, Latin America, the United States, and the Rise of the New Imperialism. Well, you know, what do those college students want? I mean, what's wrong with picking the guy who's planning the invasion of another country and picking a former member of the Keating Five scandal? You know, a dishonest senator and a warmonger seem perfectly appropriate. But, hey, anyway, you know Amy Goodman's going to do a swell job on that. So stay tuned and enjoy a full day and informative day here at KBOO. And Rich is swinging his arms at me wildly, meaning we have more callers on the air. Good morning, caller.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good. Hey, you had a couple of really good callers on here talking about, you know, participation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to make the point that, you know, the city council and county commissioners in Portland are really quite accessible. And, you know, it's not that hard to call up and schedule an appointment to go down and talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, write them a letter, give them a phone call. Sometimes, depending on what the schedule is, you know, the commissioner will actually call you back.
And if not that, certainly you get the staff tend to be very...
Yeah, and the thing is, if you can't talk to the commissioner, then you want to ask for the person that talks to the commissioner about whatever your issue is, because different people work on different issues. And that last guy, I forgot, he had a point on something that I... Oh, he said that the decisions are made ahead of time, and that's true. So if something's coming up before city council and you read in the paper, in one of the papers or here on the news that they're going to be considering something in the future, then the thing to do is to call up the council person ahead of time and tell them how you feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that one guy mentioned the judges, and I know there's judges. That's a hard one because most of the time, it's good now that we get mail-in ballots, I guess, although I hated the concept because I'd get in that booth and I wouldn't know who the heck to vote for. But I did go to a forum on that position 31 for Multnomah County. There's five people applying for that job. And when somebody asked all five of them, they're all pretty good, they all sound good, but when somebody asked the five of them, what about meth? Lane Borg was the only one who did not jump on the lock him up and throw away the key bandwagon. He said, well, we have to be careful about our civil liberties here, our civil rights. I forget exactly what he said, but, you know, his point was that before it was meth, it was crack cocaine, and before it was crack cocaine, it was tar heroin, and that just jailing people and letting them out and re-jailing people that are drug addicts doesn't solve the problem. So I thought that was really good, so I'm voting for him. And on the Supreme Court, there's a guy, Gene Hallman, that's actually from Eastern Oregon, but he's really good. Trial lawyers that I know recommend him, and that's always a good thing for me. The people who, trial lawyers, for those who don't know, are the people that represent us when we have to sue an insurance company to get our payment for a wreck or something like that. And he's also got labor support, and he's the only one in the voters pamphlet with support from unions, and he's got bipartisan support. So Gene Hallman for State Supreme Court, Elaine Borg seem to be pretty good people on judges. Because I'm like you, I don't vote for a judge if I don't know who they are.
Yeah, because you just don't know what you're putting on the bench. All
well,
right.
Thanks for all your good work.
Oh, thanks a lot, now. You take care. And let's bring on our next caller. Good morning, caller.
Is that me?
That would be you.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your new time delay feature. I'd like to give a report on the accessibility of city council. I was down there visiting yesterday, and it was quite a gratifying community get-together, and I'd like to encourage everybody who has an opinion that these people aren't accessible to come out frequently. I am kind of disappointed about the empty room, but such was not the case yesterday, and I want to let people know that our grassroots hero, Mark Lakeman, of the City Repair Project, was even patted on the back by City Council expressly yesterday for his efforts and his projects endorsed. And another grassroots group that has been meeting every Wednesday evening for the past year or so, but been together longer than that, the Portland Peak Oil Group was also present, and they had organized a resolution. They wanted to have the city create a task force about to consider the implications of moving into the post-peak oil era, and their resolution was voted on unanimously and approved. So I want to let people know that we as grassroots groups, organizations, can actually go into a forum like that and prevail. And I want to also encourage the young lady who was the only one to show up at a forum last night to keep on plugging and seek her own grassroots support. And I want to ask her to give me a call. I've left my number with the engineer. I want to encourage her to give me a call so we can maybe check our calendars, compare notes with each other, because we probably have some business to conduct. And as as to the election, you know, I've been trying to figure out why Oregonians are not allowed to sign up, register to vote, why we have to swear under penalty of perjury that we are U.S. citizens when we probably have never lived in the places that are described in the Oregon law as the United States. Do you know anything about that, Dave?
You know, I don't, to be honest with you.
Well, I'd really like people to start thinking about these fundamental issues. Why does the Oregon law describe the United States as Washington, D.C. and the territories and outlying possessions of the United States, which doesn't include Oregon, of course? And yet we have to swear under penalty of perjury that we're from one of those places in order to vote in an Oregon election. And with that, you know, question mark, I'll sign off. But could you maybe research that for us and see if you can find any clues?
Well, we can ask around, sure.
All right, thanks.
All righty.
All right, bye.
Bye. Well, let's see, it's 8:38. And you're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM, Voices from the Edge. I'm Dave Mazza. We earlier this morning we had a bit of a candidate interview, and we're now just sort of doing general discussion of politics, particularly local politics and issues that may be of importance as you're filling out your ballot. And I want to encourage folks to be doing that and remind them they can turn their ballots in at the elections office down at 11th and Morrison, or they can drop them off at the local libraries. But to do that, Eric mentioned the fact that turnout's running a little low, and there's a lot of important issues, a lot of important candidate races this time around that could have an effect on the shape and focus of our government. So don't slack off. fill those ballots out, get them in. And give us a call at 503-231-8187 if you want to participate in the last 20 minutes or so of this discussion. Let's bring on the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Well, hi, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing fabulous. Thank you very, very much. Well, I was listening to Mr. Sten on the on your program this morning.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The fact that Ms. Burdick is a no-show, or like was a no-show, is not a real surprise to me. All right. The fact that Ms. Burdick chooses to take the low road is also not a surprise to me.
Mm-hmm.
It seems that she's really fearful of talking about the issues that concern our community, because the only reason that Ms. Burdick is running is a rather transparent attempt by the Portland Business Alliance to put a voice on the city council. I mean, all you have to do is follow the money, all right?
That's it, yep.
And that's really all that you have to do, all right? Now, this issue is greater than Mr. Stem, all right?
Mm.
This issue is really about who is in charge of our government. Who's in charge of city government? Is it the people who are in charge, or is it the big business interests that are in charge? All right?
Mm-hmm.
And I have to remind my friends that the kind of government that you want is up to you. All right? It's up to you to get off your butt, and it's up to you to fill out your your little voter's card and like mail it in.
Mm-hmm.
Who you choose to vote for is obviously your choice, okay? But as you know, voter turnout in America to begin with is only about 26%.
Right.
All right? Which is almost unbelievable to me, because how can you complain about government if you choose not to get yourself involved?
Right. I mean, when you look at the turnout rates in Europe, for example, I mean, they routinely have 80, 85% turnout rates on their elections.
Well, yeah. look at the recent elections in, like, Israel, right?
Mm-hmm.
They said it was disappointingly low, and there was a 64% turnout.
Yeah.
Right? And that was a low turnout.
Yeah.
Okay? So I just want to leave with this. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Paul Wellstone, who was one of my personal heroes, said politics is not about big money and it's not about big business. It's about improving the quality of life for the ordinary man.
Nice thought.
Okay. And so, please, my friends, get up off your butt, vote. Don't give the keys to city government over to people who are taking money out of your pocket and putting it into Ms. Burdick's pocket. Have a great day.
You too now.
All right, thank you.
And let's roll over to our next caller. Good morning, caller. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. You're on the air.
Okay.
Do you have something you'd like to share with us?
Yes, I do. Good morning, Dave. My name is Leah Maka. And I've never called onto your show before, so this is a first.
Oh, well, welcome aboard.
Thank you. I wanted to speak to Eric Sten this morning, and I'm disappointed that he left so early. However, I'm going to share my information with you and the listeners. One of the things that I've been interested in for many years is housing, and more recently in the past 10 years, alternative housing.
Uh-huh.
And right now, I am been researching a product that is made out of landfill paper, and it's called Papercrete. It was developed, it's been around for a long time. Lost Valley down in Eugene, which worked to bring us straw bale and cob, has been working with the Papercrete and developing it into how it works and building structures. But I'm in the process of, I want to put together a local worker-owned business, hopefully owned by people who need the resource to build their own shelter and housing using Papercrete.
Mm-hmm.
People who are homeless, people who are in danger of losing their shelter, prisoners who come out of prison, just all kinds of people. And anyone else who's interested would like to know more about this, you can go online and do an internet search on Papercrete, find out all kinds of information. There's a couple places back east that are already starting to use this as an alternative building material.
What's the website?
Just do Papercrete. It's paper, and then the last word is C-R-E-T-E. So just do a search. There is a book out that talks about Papercrete, how to do it, how to build it, all the coatings, all the codes that it meets, the strength, the R factors, heating, sustainability. Everything's there. It's very easy to do. Mother Earth News last fall put out an issue and included this in there and showed you, had everything in there about how to build the shredder, the whole deal. So I'm working on it. I found some people who are interested, and I'm looking for more people. This is one of the things we absolutely, desperately need. We are we are in crisis with housing, and mm-hmm. we're going to be faced with it. We're going to have a Katrina of our own up here. Could, you know, could be a number of things, but what will we do? So this is a wonderful way to bring sustainability to the local level. And we don't have to depend on the government or the city council or anybody else. We just start doing it locally.
Okay.
So I would like to give my website or my email, if it's okay, if people want to get in touch with me.
Sure, go ahead.
About this. It's, I'll spell it. It's L-E-A-H-M-A-K-A. So Leahmaka at hotmail.com.
Alrighty.
Okay, and I often go to the peak oil meetings, but I'm really excited about doing this. I think this is a big solution for us. Okay.
Well, good luck with your endeavors.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And let's see. Well, we got another caller on the line. Let's bring him on. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Kind of had two questions. The first one is, I heard the city council was considering impeachment, a resolution for impeachment yesterday. Do you have any information on that?
Well, my understanding, I didn't make it down to the council hearing, but my understanding was that what actually occurred was that during the communications phase of the council hearing, and for those folks not familiar with council hearings, they start off every morning with a period where people can sign up and get 3 minutes to talk about anything they want during the communications phase. It doesn't necessarily mean the council will take any action on anything you talk about, but it's a chance for citizens to raise an issue, raise a concern, or thank the council or whatever. And it's my understanding that the folks went down there, some folks who've been working on this impeachment issue, went down there during the impeachment, during the communications portion of the meeting, and basically said, we need a resolution to calling on for the impeachment of President Bush for his activities in Iraq and other things he's done. And that the council sort of, that's an interesting concept. But as far as I know, there was no... And if anybody knows, you know, anybody who was there is listening, please call in and let us know what happened. But my understanding was that there was no decision by the council to actually act on a resolution or to craft a resolution. They didn't have a resolution to act upon.
Right.
So there seemed to be general feeling of this is a good idea, but not necessarily a plan of action to how to translate it beyond that.
And then a previous caller had asked about mental health care relating to the city government.
Mm-hmm.
And if the city government's our most accessible and accountable form of government, isn't it a good place to start? Because one of the things that we were saying was that's something handled by the county, and it just seems like if the city government is accessible and we can pass resolutions and we can get things at least addressed and start the dialogue in a city level, isn't that a good place for us to start? Or how do you feel about that?
Well, when I mentioned the fact that county handles a lot of the social services, a lot of that's driven by the way that the social service network has been evolving over the past 30 years or so. Starting under Reagan in particular, as there were efforts to stop providing social services at the federal level and push those responsibilities down to the state level, and from the state level push them down to the next jurisdictional level, which is the county. So, you know, we've seen these federal dollars and these state dollars that had previously been going to maintain federal or state agencies that were doing these social service works, that portions of that money now is instead flowing downwards to a much more local level and having the local, in this case the county, do the work themselves. And so, you know, part of the reason we see the county so heavily involved in social services is because that's sort of the way the de-evolution of federal and state social services structures went and the way the money continues to flow. The city, you know, like I say, in some cases may be involved, but it's not involved nearly to the degree that the county is at this point. I'm thinking of almost every major civil, social service agency in the region is dealt with by the county. Again, you know, the lines get blurred because there's working between city and county on a whole variety of things, and it certainly doesn't hurt. It's similar to what's going on with the, you know, the fact that the city's become involved in the school issue, even though technically that's a school district issue and not something that the city itself is supposed to be involved in from a jurisdictional point of view.
And essentially, it could be good to have the city acting as an advocate for particular issues, especially if there's strong support from the
city. Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, I think so, yeah. But, you know, they need to be also working the other side of the street and pressing the county to do the right thing as well.
Right. Well, thanks a lot.
All righty. Well, you take care. And just tuning in, it's 8:51. This is KBOO 90.7 FM, Voices from the Edge. I'm Dave Mazza. Joanne's not here today. She's back east on some sort of business. And we've been talking politics all morning, city politics, since we have an election coming up. We had Eric Sten on a little bit earlier talking about what he is running on as his campaign platform. We invited the other candidates. They chose not to show up. So I don't know what that says about KPU or says about Eric Sten or says about me for that matter. But anyhow, we've been taking a lot of calls. We're getting down to the last 9 minutes, so callers, let's keep it moving swiftly. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, the previous caller kind of stole my thunder, but I was also going to ask about what transpired yesterday morning at City Council as far as the impeachment, the call for an endorsement of an impeachment against the criminals in the White House. And since he's already asked the question and you kind of gave an answer to it, I understood that you to say that you thought maybe there was some favorable response on some of the city council members to that resolution, or
the person who was reporting to me what happened said that, you know, that's what they read the faces of the commission and it seemed that there was some generally positive head nodding going on.
Okay.
So,
but I will just make a brief comment then about what I see as a very unhealthy relationship between the Portland Business Alliance and City Council.
Mm-hmm.
I will speculate that if, in fact, this actually does come up for discussion on the City Council, that it will not pass because of this relationship between the Portland Business Alliance and City Council. Are you aware of the fact that the Portland Business Alliance rather secretively brought Alberto Gonzalez to Portland here to speak about terrorism not too awfully long ago?
Yeah.
In front of the Business Alliance, a closed meeting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, I really believe that the Portland Business Alliance is probably responsible for a lot of things that happen in this town that people say, my God, this is Portland. Why did that go down the way it did? I think it's because of this influence that the Business Alliance exerts over City Council. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that the Business Alliance's influence is waning. I don't think they have as much influence over the City Council as they did under the Katz administration. I think
that's a good point.
I think Vera Katz was far more wanting to maintain good relationships with the Portland Business Alliance. And I think also they had, you know, it's a different leadership right now. I mean, the old executive director was quite a combative guy and, you know, getting charging out there every 2 minutes on everything. And the new person has a much different style. But I think, you know, actually it's lightened up a bit myself, but not to say that they aren't trying. As you know, they did try to run an initiative that would have taken back the voter-owned elections. And
most definitely.
You know, they've been working to kill that and all. So I'd say they're still not a friend of democracy by any stretch. So
something to keep an eye on at any rate.
It's always good to watch, yeah, where the money's going.
Exactly. Thank you.
You're welcome now. And let's bring on our next caller. Good morning, caller. Are you there?
Yeah.
Good. Got a question?
I'm still here. Huh?
Oh. Yeah.
What?
Oh, go ahead.
I have no, I don't have a question. I want to talk to Dave Mazza.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh.
You're on the air, and this is Dave.
Oh, really? Oh, really? I'm sorry. I've been sitting here, you know, like spacing out. Okay. Nothing, but I read the Alliance. I don't really have a question, but I read the Alliance, and I love your paper, and it's good to talk to you. This is really weird. See, I don't do this much, like call up talk shows and stuff.
Okay, well.
So, okay.
Well, if you don't have a question, we can move on. It's all right.
Okay.
Well, thanks a lot. And let's bring on our next caller.
Is that back to me? You were asking for some input on the resolution. There was no resolution to it.
Right. There was no resolution.
But the proposal was to also impeach Cheney so there would be a clean sweep. And I disagree with your previous caller, Mark, about the possibility of success in that endeavor. According to the number of hands and the way it was received from the council, I would say that if that issue could be brought back before council in any form at all, maybe two or three times in the next couple months, I would just about bet you that as a political device before the elections in November, mm-hmm. they will do it.
Oh.
And they understood that it's not a isolated phenomenon to do it here in Portland. They understood that there is quite a nationwide
right.
push.
There's a growing list of cities who have done that. Okay, well, that's good to know because I wasn't there, and the person I was just, you know, passing on hearsay.
Well, there was a lot of hands in their faces, in city council's faces yesterday, approving of the suggestion. And they understand that it's a popular notion, and I believe that if we want to get it before November general elections, we could get that.
Just need to be a little better, have our ducks lined up.
A couple more hits on them. All right.
Okay, thanks a lot for that. All right, let's see now. Let's move on to our next caller. Do we have another caller? Well, we don't have another caller. Well, we're down to our last 2.5 minutes, so... Well, you know, it's been a good morning. Lots of talk about elections. And, my understanding from what Eric Sten told us this morning is that voter turnout at the moment is about 9%. We only have a few days more. What, next Tuesday is the deadline for getting your ballots in. And probably if you wait until Friday, you're not going to be able to mail that ballot in. So make a point of getting it in the mail before then, or dropping by local library, or dropping by the voter elections, county elections office over on 12th and Madison, or 11th and Madison, Morrison, I mean, 11th and Morrison. And, you know, get that in there. You don't even have to stop. You can literally just drive up to the building. They'll have people out there picking those things up out of your hand. I think also as you get real close to the end of the cycle here, they have people out like at Pioneer Square as well and some other locations. So there'll be more than ample opportunities for you to vote. And, yes, for those of us who question the limits of our democracy, our current state of democracy to do anything, voting is not the silver bullet, the magic bullet, but it is a piece. It's a tool that's important for us to achieve our means. Let's face it, it's a lot better to have a friendly government that's offering us more opportunities to get out there and organize than one that would be out there knocking us on the head. So cast those ballots, stay active, go to those meetings, keep raising hell. All right, and y'all have a good morning, and stay tuned to KBOO. This is Dave Mazza, and you have a good day.
As we discuss the princess icon and its power to captivate the imaginations of girls across generations, shaping perceptions of self, womanhood, and destiny. Now a billion-dollar business, what messages are passed down?
We'll also take a humorous and analytical look at this country's own princess icon, Miss America.
That's this Friday at 6 p.m. on KBOO.
I want to be princess.
And good morning. This is a Thursday morning radio zine for Thursday, May 11th. This is Princess Emily presiding. Coming up this morning on KBOO, Julie Sabatier hosts DIY Portland. The focus is on alternative fuels with interviews with people making alternative fuels. At 9:30, Teresa Mitchell hosts Press Watch. She's back, thank goodness. The news you're not supposed to know. At 10, Per Fagren interviews former KBOO programmer Paul Rowland, who's in the studio, about Italy's current political climate. And at 11 on Democracy Now!, faculty members at Georgetown University protest the visiting professor appointment of Douglas Faith, the former Undersecretary of Defense and a chief architect of the invasion of Iraq. Protests at the new school in New York City over the pick of Arizona Republican Senator John McCain as commencement speaker, and an interview with Greg Grandin about his new book, Empire's Workshop, Latin America, the United States, and the Rise of the New Imperialism. And now stay tuned for Julie Sabatier and DIY Portland.